My interest tonight is to consider with you the subject of weeping in this lovely gospel, the Gospel of Luke. The gospel that presents to us the Lord Jesus, who is a tender man. And we have read of his tears in chapter 19. You'll remember then in chapter 6 that we have read the contrasting message of the Lord Jesus, advising the wisdom of tears now, or reminding us of the inevitability of tears for the future. I'd like to insist tonight that while what we are preaching should reach the emotions of men and women, we sometimes feel a tremendous lack in our preaching, that men and women who listen to us fail to be moved deeply by the truths that we are presenting. That the preaching should affect the emotions of men and women. And very much so, as we have been reminded with Felix. And yet I want to say very clearly at this point of the meeting that we are not aiming for emotional response. We are not trying to kind of get people's emotions all stirred up and hoping that people will make unconsidered decisions and will just somehow or other be all emotionally involved. That is cheap preaching, and we are not interested in that kind of a thing. But you see, what concerns us is this. The Lord Jesus says that the issues that are involved are such that if men and women do not weep now, if they are never deeply moved, they will be deeply moved. Well, it's too late. And his advice to those who hear his message is, allow the message to reach your heart. Respond to the deep significance of the message that is being preached. And weep now. Let the truth of it stir your soul. Just one day you will be deeply stirred and it'll be too late. We are not lecturing on comparative religion. We are not entertaining. Sometimes I check myself when I speak of a gathering of people as an audience, as though we were entertaining and this is the audience that has come to watch us. We are preaching for your heart. We are reaching by the gospel message for your soul to rescue your soul from eternal darkness and life. Our interest is that you might realize the tremendous seriousness of what we are preaching. Let me speak to you from chapter 19, then, first of all, of tears of compassion. The Lord Jesus has busied himself through his years of public service, raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the leper, feeding the hungry. He has poured out his heart for the blessing of men and women. He has poured out his heart for the blessing of men and women. His ministry is coming to a climax. The disciples are beginning to sense that things aren't going to keep on going the way they are. The pathway is getting narrow. There's a storm on the horizon. And they're following him now on his last journey to Jerusalem. And that band comes up behind him. The Savior is leading the way. And up the dusty road he steps until he crests the top of the hill.
And beneath him lies the beloved city of Jerusalem. It is the city that is from the center of all God's plans for this earth. The promises that every Jew holds dear all center around this city. And the Savior crests the hill to look on the city. If you had been behind him, you would have seen his shoulders begin to shake. For what is here is not the same word that you read in John's Gospel chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus stood by the grave of Lazarus, a dear friend who had departed in death. And he stood so conscious of the grief of Lazarus' two sisters, so dear to himself. The Lord Jesus, the Word of God says, he wept. Quietly, he stood by the side of that tomb, and tears began to course down his cheeks. The word that is used here is a word for convulsive weeping. There is tremendous emotion in the heart of the Lord Jesus. Why is it? Listen. If our emotions are never reached, those of us who preach, if we calmly present our subjects, and never in the presence of God are deeply moved by these realities, we have yet to think deeply of the heart of the Master whom we preach. He looked over a multitude, a city of men and women, and they had presented to them the glorious King. They had presented to them the moment of their opportunity. And the Lord Jesus is deeply moved, convulsively, as though out of control, his tears are flowing. If thou hadst known, even thou, the things that belong unto thy peace, oh, if only you knew that had you received me, you would have peace and joy beyond description. If only you knew that in receiving me, you would have been brought into the blessings, the wondrous blessings that God has provided. Oh, if only you knew what you are missing when you pass by the Savior. Thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. God has come near to you. You did not realize that these were your golden moments. I dare say there are times when people come to a gospel meeting and they may not at all be impressed with the preachers. But what they do not realize is this. It is not the preachers that are the issue. It is the message that they are preaching. And the great issue is this, that God is presenting you in the gospel with an opportunity to have salvation, to have peace with God, to enjoy the blessing of sins forgiven. God is coming near to you. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And with broken heart he begins to tell them, to speak of what is going to come just over the horizon in history. Thine enemies shall compass thee round about. There is going to be a tremendous siege of the city of Jerusalem. There is going to be a tremendous declaration that will come over the privileged people who have turned away from the Savior. There is judgment to come. And the Savior's heart is moved. His body is filled with emotion. Tears of grief. For what souls have missed, and for what souls will face of the awful judgment of God. Do we convey to you then tonight that we are dealing with exactly the same issues? We are presenting you tonight with the same blessed Savior who have received by faith. If you take him for that as your Savior, you will enjoy peace beyond description. Yours will be the blessing of salvation, the assurance of heaven for all eternity. And if you miss him, if you miss the Savior, you will go out to face the wrath of God for eternity. Secondly, in Luke's Gospel, I want you to think with me of tears of contrition. Not now, certainly not shed by the Lord Jesus. Tears of concern on the part of man. I'm thinking of at least two incidents in the Gospel according to Luke, where the Lord Jesus comes into scenes of death. The height of human emotion and upset. Can you imagine how inconsiderate, how rude, callous you would think of me if I walked into a funeral home and there's a mother and father there and family gathered around and in the casket are the remains of a 12-year-old daughter. And I said, "Don't weep." Or in the casket were the remains of an only son. And the woman that's standing by the casket has no husband to stand by her because she's been standing there before when his body was in the casket. And I should walk up to such a woman and simply say, "My dear woman, don't weep." He'd say, "What kind of a hard-hearted man are you?" The Lord Jesus walked into a home where there was a 12-year-old girl who had just died, and he says to the family and friends, "Don't weep." He stopped the funeral procession on its way out of the city of Nain, and a widow is going out for the burial of her only son, and he says, "Don't weep." Don't weep. Is he hard-hearted? Never. I want to tell you that the Son of God is able to weep the tears of the greatest grief of this life. To wipe away the tears, and instead of tears, to bring joy to the heart. Could I tell you tonight, it may not be that your difficulty, that the tears that flow in your life flow as a result of death. It may be the case with someone. It may be that disappointments of life have brought the tears flowing down your cheeks. It may be the bitterness of friends who have turned from you. It may be the awful disappointments of the revolts of life, the difficulties with a job and financial problems. And it may be every heart knows its own bitterness. But I tell you tonight that if you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, you would have your tears replaced. With joy. I didn't tell you that if you don't have a job and you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, you'd have a job tomorrow morning. I didn't tell you that if you lost a loved one and you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, you'll have a loved one back tomorrow morning. I am clearly and unequivocally telling you that if you listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus, whatever the reason for your tears, unspeakable. He's able to change lives. He's able to bring peace in the midst of problems. He's able to bring joy in the midst of tears. Oh, my friend, tonight, what you need is this Savior is yours. What you need is to listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. He and He alone is able to bind the brokenhearted. He's able to satisfy. He's able to bring joy and peace. Oh,
If I could only tell him as I know him. My Redeemer who has brightened all my way. If I could tell how precious is his presence, I am sure that you would make him yours today.
There are tears in this gospel that are tears of contrition. They are tears of men and women who are weeping because of their sins. They're listening to John the Baptist preach. And that fiery little preacher is telling them that there's wrath to come. Yes, he is. And I want to tell you again that that fiery little preacher is not going to have people crying their way out in the wilderness and wiping away their tears and having emotional services. What that man is doing is this. He is touching the consciences of men and women. He is reminding men and women that they have sinned against God. He is reminding them of the day that God is going to bring sin into judgment. Let us preach it tonight with all our hearts. Let our words be cast on the subject of sin. Hear about the message. My friend, tonight God holds you accountable for your sin. Every sin will one day be brought into judgment by God. The greatest problem you have, if you sit at the gathering tonight, is this, that the Holy God of heaven has a record of it. And have decreed that one sort of thing, your sin will be brought into judgment. You cannot hide from God. You cannot cover your sins from the all-seeing eye of the Holy God of heaven.
And in the days of John the Baptist, men and women wept.
Sometimes I think of the case of a man who told me how he was saved. The reason he told me is because he was saved in meetings my father had. He told me one night that as the preacher began to read from Revelation chapter 14 of the wrath of God, they shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He said, I got up when he was reading. I was in the middle of the aisle, in the middle of the seat. And he said, I made a disruption to get out to the aisle. So moved, he said, that I just kept saying out loud and I didn't care who heard it. No, no, no. What had happened? The man was facing reality. Do you criticize people who walk out of the doctor's office with tears running down their face? And you say, my, it's a shame they're so weak and emotional. Just stop and ask them why the tears. If you can ask them kindly. And if they'll take away the shield of privacy and tell you,
the doctor just said 3 months to live. Oh, you say you have every reason to have tears flowing down your face. I understand. My friend, tonight, could I tell you that what we are preaching is no less real? You have every reason tonight to be deeply, desperately concerned. Your sins are on record with the Holy God, and you are in danger that at any moment, you may be called out to meet God. There's not a person in the gathering tonight that can guarantee me with assurance you'll be in the gospel meeting tomorrow night. Not one of us. Preacher included.
I'm never back to preach the gospel. Will you remember this?
I have gone to be with the Savior that died for me. And the highest joy of my existence will have been to look on the face of the man that wore a crown of thorns and went to Calvary's cross to save a guilty sinner like me. Wonderful to live without assurance. Any moment now I might be home. I don't want you to misunderstand me when I tell you I'd have to get home to Pennsylvania. I love Vancouver. I love the Christians. I love the people who are preaching the gospel, but the longer I'm away from home, the more itchy I am to get home. It'll take me a while to get there when the time comes, if the Lord will. One of these days, I'm going to my eternal home. Never been there. I like the words of that hymn. It's a more contemporary hymn. The only lines that I can remember of that hymn are these. Every once in a while, I hum the whole thing over to get to these lines. One day I'll be sleeping, and death knocks at my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore. I'll be home. Any moment now, I'll be home. The blood of Christ, His sacrifice at Calvary, has guaranteed all that, settled forever. Any moment now, my soul, any moment now, you may find yourself settling down forever in the wrath of God. Any moment now, you may find yourself called out to meet the eternal. Oh, that there might be souls weeping, crying to God for mercy. The woman of Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, is a woman who is weeping likewise. But I want to tell you tonight there's a different reason for her tears. They are tears of conversion. Yes, people that get salvation cry just for the same reason she did. She was a sinner, I can tell you that much. And she heard the preachers preach his golden text. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And with a heart deeply burdened by her sins, if only I could be rid of this work and sin of that scribe, if only I could know that all were well between my soul and God, come unto me, he says, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what a sweet word it was to her heart. Could I tell you that in heart she came to him? He gave her rest because he always keeps his word. Could I tell you that after she had come to him in heart, she came to him in body? He went into a home where she wasn't welcome, and she didn't even think about that. In she crept through the door because the master was inside reclining at the table about to eat. And she comes up behind him, and it doesn't matter who sees her. It doesn't matter what this religious man will say. She begins to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you know how she washed them? Tears of joy were flowing from her cheeks. And the tears dripped down on the dusty feet of the Lord Jesus. And she washed his feet with her tears, and she stooped over so that the hair of her head could be her towel, and she wiped his feet with her hair. She loved him. And she was deeply grateful to him for the rest she had. Tonight there are some people in this meeting, and I'm with them. And we are going back to that moment in life when we received the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we wonder why it is that there aren't more tears now and more outpourings of gratitude and love. Listen, I was a sinner and deserved to be in hell. And the Lord Jesus saved me by purchasing me with His own blood. And with deepest appreciation, I stand beside a woman with tears of gratitude that are flowing. And thank God that He ever saved a sinner like me. Glad I'm saved. And I'm telling you that tonight so I can assure you that it's a grand thing to be saved. To tell you tonight that the most important blessing of life is when you come to the Lord Jesus. You're a sinner and receive Him and He will receive you. And you will have God's salvation and forgiveness as your own. And you will thank God forever that you ever sat in a gospel tent on a kind of a cold, damp night in July and listened to the voice of the Savior and came to Him to trust. I would not be finished the subject without telling you tonight that Luke's gospel gives us the weeping of calamity. Listen to the Lord Jesus as He is on His way to Calvary. The paid mourners are lining His way. And as He comes past them, and they're mocking, weeping and wailing, He says to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, save your tears. But weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the women that never bear children.'" In that day of judgment that is coming, do you see what's in the heart of the Lord Jesus? He's looking beyond the moment to the solemn judgment that's coming. And He says to these people, "Weep for yourselves and your children. The day is coming when they will cry to the rock and to the mountains and will say, 'Cover up!'" It's the day that we read about our brother read last evening in Revelation chapter 6. The great day of the wrath of the Lamb that will come. And the Lord Jesus is looking down through history and He is showing the men and women, "Time now to weep with deep anguish. The judgment is coming. Days of solemn judgment and wrath that lie ahead." Oh, could I stir your heart tonight as you listen to the preaching of the gospel? My soul, tonight, if there is one thing that should not be the case, it is this. You must not be unmoved. You are steadily, step by step, moment by moment, moving onward to the solemn judgment of God and a day of wrath when men will cry to mountains, the sun will cover them from the almighty wrath of God. What a day that will be. Our world doesn't believe in this kind of a thing, you know. Star Wars will shield a nation, it was supposed to anyway, shield a nation from all kinds of difficulties. My friend, one of these days when technology has advanced beyond what it is now, it may only be 2 or 3 years, but when the technology has advanced beyond what it is now, even that will not be enough to shelter men from the wrath of God. Weep for yourselves, for your children. And I am thinking in closing of the tears of Luke chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus speaks about a day of remorse. Listen to the story. He paints of a door that closes, of a people that expected to be inside the door, of a feast that is going on inside the door. There are people from all ages and all geographic locations, and they're all gathered together for the feast that God provides for man. And the Lord Jesus simply says, "Outside, there, shall be weeping. Could I tell you tonight that there is a place where men and women will know nothing but endless weeping? It is that that impresses me in the way the Lord Jesus speaks. Now listen, He does not say, outside that door, those who miss heaven, those who miss the blessings of God, outside that door, you know they're going to weep. That could mean that they would weep for 5 years. And as the 5 years were passed, they would somehow get over the effect of it. And they would dry their tears and go on living. There, said the Lord Jesus, shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When 5 years have passed, the grief of it will never pass. The remorse of missing God's salvation, the door that was opened and could have been entered, the remorse of missing all that, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Men and women who shall eternally, when a million years have passed, be weeping in all the depth and bitterness of remorse. I will never be in heaven. The door is closed. I could have been saved. I did not think the door would close when it closed. I did not think my opportunity would be with God when it was. I could have been in heaven. Salvation was free. The Lord Jesus suffered and died at Calvary. I knew the glorious truth of John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I could have had salvation. God made it so simple. I'll never be saved. I'll never be in heaven. I'll never escape the judgment of God. I am lost forever. 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 Tears that will never be dried. Tears that a man or a woman will never get over. Outside the door, there shall be weeping. Continuous weeping, endless remorse for souls that miss the Savior in heaven. We're presenting to you tonight as seriously as we can the issues that are being decided in these present moments in a gospel meeting. Christians will leave quietly. Some will go into the tent behind us here and wipe away their tears as they think of dear ones in the meeting tonight who are choosing for heaven or hell and they make their final choice tonight. And we are preaching tonight with one clear purpose before us, to make it as hard as possible for you to turn from Christ. My friend, don't make a mistake. Don't turn away in your sins from Calvary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And God's beloved Son assures you tonight, He has paid the great price of sin at Calvary. You come to Him. And tonight, He guarantees you this. I will give you rest. Shall we pray? Our Father, we commit to Thee Thy good word tonight. One thing to read of remote figures in history who trembled and perished. We think tonight of souls who were in our meeting. We have no question there are some that are considering eternal things. And what causes us to tremble is that they might miss Christ. May miss Him tonight. May miss Him for eternity. Grant Thy blessing on Thy word. We thank you that there's no need for souls to go on to perish eternally. We thank you that all that they require, all that God requires, has been given in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. God grant there may be some soul tonight to claim him, trusting him for time and eternity, and be saved even tonight. Bless thy word, preserve us as we separate. And again we ask for souls to Christ. In his name, amen. Now our closing hymn tonight will be that well-known hymn, "Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me," number 74. Thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. We do trust this will be the experience of some soul in the meeting tonight, not simply to sing the words, but to, in reality, take in this blessed truth. What took place at Calvary was for me, and I can trust the Savior. God grant it may be so. We appreciate your being here tonight. We count it a privilege to welcome you personally and thank you for coming. We're privileged to shake your hand at the door. And if we can help you, we would be very thankful for the privilege of helping you in any way we can. Don't leave the tent tonight without Christ. If you have any interest in these eternal matters, what joy would be yours and what joy we would share with heaven if you got this matter settled tonight, settled for eternity by coming to the Lord Jesus.